Today, what I want to do is I want to finish our Book of Acts teaching series. All right, we've basically taken a pause from it for 3 weeks, but I had one more message in this series that I wanted to get back to, and so that's what we're going to do today. So just as a reminder, we are teaching through the Book of Acts in a series called Torchbearers. And the reason we called it Torchbearers is because we believe that that torch that was lit on the day of Pentecost that birthed the church of Jesus Christ, that that torch has been handed from one generation to the next. And so today, Kauai Bible Church, we are carrying the same torch that the first church of Jerusalem was carrying so many thousands of years ago. Right, we are not separate from them. We're not on a different mission from them. They weren't on like a different plane than us. We're the same. We're the same church carrying the same torch. And because of that, we want to have that same Book of Acts DNA burning inside of us. And so that's why we've been studying the Book of Acts. And so we started with, we believe. Right? To have a Book of Acts DNA, there are certain things that we need to believe, and those beliefs will inspire our behaviors. And so we got back to the roots of what is it that we believe about us as a church and our mission as a church. Then we talked about we gather. That the key to having a Book of Acts DNA is that we gather together with God's people, that we know that together we are called to do things for the kingdom of God that we cannot do individually. The church is the only institution that Jesus purposed to build. He didn't purpose to build any other institution. He didn't purpose any other way to see his kingdom advance on earth except for the gathering of his church. And so to have a Book of Acts DNA, we've got to have that priority on the gathering, that together we are accomplishing great things for God's kingdom. We talked about we pray that the early church didn't have a prayer meeting. The early church was the prayer meeting. And the same thing now. We are the prayer meeting. That we have corporate prayer in everything that we do as a church, whether it's a Sunday gathering, a belong group, a rooted group, whatever the case may be, that we are passionate and devoted to praying together as his people. And then the fourth part was we share. Right? That the gospel was spread because the people of God in the Book of Acts shared the gospel in large public settings, in small group settings, and in one-on-one settings. The gospel was shared, and the kingdom of God advanced through the sharing of the gospel. And so we see, we believe, we gather, we pray, we share. And so today, we're going to finish this series up with we multiply. We multiply. There is a principle of multiplication in the Book of Acts. There is a principle of multiplication in how God wants to see his kingdom advanced on the earth that we have got to embrace as a Book of Acts church. And so if you take a look at your notes, which you can find in your bulletin or on the church app, or you can find them attached to this video, or you can find them attached to the audio podcast, you can see our big picture point today is this. To have a Book of Acts DNA, we must view multiplication as a critical part of fulfilling the Great Commission. We must view multiplication as a critical part. And since we're talking about multiplication, I want to talk to you about mathematics in the Book of Acts. All right? There is a principle of mathematics in the Book of Acts. It looks like this. First, people are added to the church. People are added to the church. Acts 2:47, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Acts 5:14, all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. Right? So there is an adding. Every time somebody gives their life to Christ, every time we share the gospel and we can lead somebody to faith in Jesus Christ, that person is added to the church. They become a part of the church universal, right? The capital C church, which is all believers of Jesus all over the world. And they also become a part of the church local, lowercase c church, which is the local church, our local gathering of believers here. We are Kauai Bible Church, right? So people are added to the church. But then we see that disciples are multiplied. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number. Now, in other translations of the Bible, you'll read where it says increasing in number, it says while the disciples were multiplied. The Greek word there is plethuno. plethuno, and it means to increase abundantly or to multiply. Right? So this is where the multiplication comes in. Now at this time, while the disciples were multiplied, in verse 7 of Acts chapter 6, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly. Plethuno, the number of disciples continued to multiply in Jerusalem. Right? And so there is an adding of new people to the church, but then there is a multiplying of disciples. How does that work? Well, if every person replicates themselves in somebody else, multiplication begins to happen, right? We talked about this a few months ago when we talked about the R number in diseases, right? And then if a disease has an R number greater than 1.0, then you're going to see multiplication, because as long as each person who has the virus spreads it to more than one person, it's going to multiply. And so in the church of Jesus Christ, if we, each one of us as a disciple of Jesus, is discipling another person, we're going to see multiplication, right? And so that's the challenge for us. Who are we discipling? And if we've been in the church for any length of time and we're not discipling somebody, why not? Well, I know the fear is, well, I'm not ready yet. I haven't been following Jesus long enough yet. Well, how long do I have to follow Jesus until I'm ready to disciple somebody? Well, there's no set biblical answer to that. But I love Steve Merle's answer, right? Steve Merle pastored a huge multi-site church that was based out of the Manila, Philippines. And Steve Merle said that to disciple somebody, you just have to be one chapter ahead of them. So if you only know two chapters in the Bible, then you can disciple somebody that only knows one chapter in the Bible, right? You just got to stay one chapter ahead of them, and you can disciple them, right? So there needs to be a multiplication of discipleship. And then if the disciples are multiplied, what we will see is churches are multiplied. Churches are multiplied. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 4, says this: Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. What is happening here? Well, they had a council of Jerusalem where they answered some key questions about Christianity and what their stance was going to be moving forward. And what we see here in Acts chapter 16 now is Paul and Silas are taking those decrees, and it says they are going from city to city, passing these decrees on to every church as they travel along. Well, why is that significant? Because this isn't too long after the time when there was only one church in one city, in the church of Jerusalem. But when that church began to multiply, suddenly now we find ourselves not too many years later with churches in city after city as you travel through the Roman Empire. So if we start adding people to the church, and then we start multiplying through discipleship, then what we will see is churches begin to multiply. And what do we know about the book of Acts? We know that God had to give them a little nudge to get them to start multiplying churches. Right? So they started adding people. They got that right out of the gate. And then they started multiplying disciples. So they had this great atmosphere of discipleship. They got that right out of the gate. But the multiplying churches, they didn't get that. They just stayed in Jerusalem. There was just one church of Jerusalem. And probably for about 5 or 6 years, it was just that one church in Jerusalem. And that one church was growing and multiplying, but they weren't multiplying more churches. So God had to give them a little nudge. What was that little nudge? It was severe persecution. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And then jumping down to verse 4, therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. God had to give them a nudge to get them out of Jerusalem. And so after 5 or 6 years of only having one church in Jerusalem, God nudged them out, they scattered, and they began planting churches, and the multiplication of churches began. Our main passage we're going to study today is Acts chapter 11, and let's pick it up here in verse 19. It says this, "So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, the Gentiles also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord." And so again, we see the continuation of this story. God nudged them out of Jerusalem, churches began to multiply, and they eventually made their way to the city of Antioch. And the city of Antioch was the first multiracial church where it wasn't just Jewish people, but it was a church that comprised of Jewish people and Gentile people together. And we see the church being multiplied. So why multiplying churches? Why this focus on churches birthing new churches, right? And how would this apply to us? Well, it would apply to us by saying, are we multiplying disciples? Which means, are each one of us discipling somebody in the Lord? But then the next step is, are we multiplying churches? Have more churches been planted out of Kauai Bible Church? And why is that significant? Because there is an effectiveness to church plants that does not exist in just one established church staying by itself. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, in 2015, Lifeway did a research study, and this is what they found. They found that 42% of attendees of a church plant were previously unchurched, whereas only 10% of attendees of an established church were. So in an established church like us, Kauai Bible Church, we're 49 years old. We have an amazing legacy and an amazing history here. But in general, for an established church like ours, only 10% of the people that are in attendance right now were recently unchurched. We're recently unsaved, didn't go to church, didn't know Jesus. Most of us have either been going to church for a long time, or we came to Kauai Bible Church because we transferred from another church. Maybe you moved to Kauai and you found us, or maybe God moved you along from another church and you found us. But most of us, 90% of us, were not recently unchurched. Are you guys tracking with me? Whereas with a church plant, 42% of the attendees were previously unchurched. Which means there is something about planting a new church which gives it a fresh life and a fresh passion which allows it to reach more unsaved people. But here's the cool thing. When you start planting churches, it's not just the church plant that becomes more effective. Check this out. There was a research study done by Peter Wagner, and he found this, that established churches that plant a new church grow at nearly twice the rate of churches that do not. So something happens as an established church when you plant a new church. It breathes fresh life and energy into the established church, and suddenly the established church starts growing, even if maybe it hasn't grown in a while. So there is something powerful and effective about churches multiplying churches. And Kauai Bible Church, we have never, out of our own people, planted a new church. Now, we have supported church plants, and we have financially been a part of churches being planted. I mean, that's what we're doing in Argentina. The church that we support in Corrientes, Argentina, is a church-planting church, and so we are supporting financially those church plants. But Kauai Bible Church, you know, we have not taken people of our own church and sent them somewhere to plant a new church. As a Book of Acts DNA church, I want to begin to instill this vision within us, that we would begin to catch this. And I want to talk about Antioch, this first multiracial church that was planted that became a multiplying church. And I want to look at this church of Antioch in chapters 11 and chapter 13 of Book of Acts. And I want us to see some things that we can learn about what it takes to become a multiplying church. What does it take to become a church-planting church? You guys following with me? All right, so let's do this. You can see in your notes, I got four things. Let's start in Acts chapter 11, and let's start in verse 22. Pick up where we left off. It says the news about them, them being this new multiracial church in Antioch, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Right? Barnabas actually means son of encouragement, right? That's what his name meant. And Barnabas had the gift of encouragement. That's why they sent him to go to Antioch, is so that he would go and begin to encourage the people. It says in verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And then Barnabas did something. It says, and he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Right, and so Barnabas was sent by the apostles in Jerusalem. He was sent to Antioch to encourage the church and to continue to build the church. And then he must have gotten a word from the Lord that said, bring Saul here, who we know as Paul, right, who wrote most of the New Testament. But at this point, Paul was not yet famous for his missionary journeys around the Roman Empire. He was just hanging out in his hometown of Tarsus. And God told Barnabas, I want you to go get Saul. It's time for Saul to start his ministry. And so he went and he got Saul, brought him back to Antioch. And for a year, all they did was raise up disciples and create a culture of discipleship in the church of Antioch. So number one in your notes is discipleship is the foundation of multiplication. Discipleship is the foundation of multiplication. Before Antioch was a multiplying church, they were a discipling church. It starts with that. If you are not raising up and multiplying disciples, you're not going to get to multiplying churches. It starts with having a foundation and a culture and an environment of discipleship. And so they spent a year pouring into the people. And I want to share this. The ingredients of multiplication, as I was studying the book of Acts and looking into this principle of multiplication and how it wraps around discipleship, there was these three ingredients that I saw, right? The first one in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, which we read a few minutes ago, said the word of God kept on spreading and the number of disciples continued to multiply, plethuno, in Jerusalem. Right? And so the first ingredient of multiplication is an increase of the word of God. Listen to Acts 12 and 24. It says, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. Plethuno, again, the same Greek word. The word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. In Acts 19, 20, it says, so the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Right? And so the key ingredient here to multiplying disciples is the word of God. That there's an increase in the Word of God. What do you mean it's increasing? Well, that means that we're reading it more. We're studying it more. We're talking about it more. We're allowing it to change us more from the inside out. We're living by it more, right? It's one thing to study it. It's another thing to live by it, right? Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, James tells us, right? So there's got to be an increase of the Word of God. We're studying it more. We're applying it more. It's changing us more. We're speaking it more. We're declaring it more. We're sharing it more with people. And as we do this, we will find ourselves in this culture of discipleship and this culture of multiplication. Then we get to Acts 9:31, and it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace and being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Guess what word that word increase is? Plethuno. It continued to multiply. What were these two ingredients that caused it to continue to multiply? The fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, right? The fear of the Lord, that we recognize the awesomeness of God. We recognize the holiness of God. We recognize that He is Lord of Lords and that He is the Lord of our lives. And by living in fear of Him, it's not like this paralyzing fear. It's not like this scary movie fear where we're scared of God. No, we are in awe of God. And because we are in awe of Him, We want to live in obedience to him. We want to give ourselves completely to his mission. And so the more we experience the fear of the Lord, the more we will see this discipleship multiply, and the more we will see the church begin to multiply, because we recognize God's on a mission. He's invited us to be a part of that mission, and if we're in fear of him, then we will be passionate about partnering with him in that mission, and that mission will cause us to become a multiplying church. It's the fear of the Lord. And the second one is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? Well, first off, we know that these churches were experiencing a tremendous amount of persecution. There was a lot of difficulty, rejection. People were being jailed and murdered. People didn't have any money. They had nowhere to turn. They didn't have the resources. There was a great difficulty, and yet they never stopped. Why did they never stop? Because in the midst of their difficulties, they had the Holy Spirit. And listen, if we have the Holy Spirit, we'll be unstoppable. The comfort of the Holy Spirit will continue to lift us up, even in the midst of the struggle. But the power of the Holy Spirit working through us as a church will continue to propel us forward. And we will see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And we will see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we will see the power of the Spirit bringing great fruit, great transformation, great revival through our church. Amen. So if we've got the word of the Lord, if we've got the fear of the Lord, and if we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, come on, nothing's going to stop us. We'll have a discipleship culture. We'll have a multiplying culture. Discipleship is the foundation of multiplication. Let's continue on. The second one, and I believe this is the one that Kauai Bible Church, I think this is the one that we're the best at right now. The one that we're the best at right now, and that is this. Multiplication begins with participation globally. Multiplication begins with participation globally. All right. We will be like water. We will be fluid and adaptable. Thank you, Jesus. Multiplication begins with participation globally. Let's get back to Acts chapter 11, picking it up in verse 27. Now at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. So what do we have here? This church in Antioch receives a prophetic word that a great famine is going to come to Judea. And obviously in Judea is the church of Jerusalem, the primary church of this New Testament movement. And most of these folks in Antioch didn't know the folks in Judea, right? They didn't know the folks in Jerusalem. They were not a part of that church. And yet when they received this prophetic word, what did they want to do? By whatever means necessary, they wanted to participate with that church by helping to sustain them and bless them in the midst of their famine, right? Blessing them, people they had never met, maybe a city they would never go to, a church they would never attend, but they wanted to participate with them. This happened before they were a multiplying church. So before they were a multiplying church, they got involved globally. And like I said, Kauai Bible Church, I think this is the one that we're the best at right now. Currently, right now, we are involved with our church in Argentina in Corrientes with Anthony and Jessica Rozier, and they're planting churches around northern Argentina, and we're a part of that, even though many of us will never go there, and we will never see those churches. We are participating. We are participating with the churches in Haiti, helping to rebuild the houses and communities that have been devastated, right? Most of us will never go to Haiti. We will never meet these folks, but we're participating globally. And that's just now, man. Throughout the last 49 years, Kauai Bible Church has helped to see churches planted on islands off the coast of Russia and in Indonesia and different parts all over the world that we have been a part of. Before you become a multiplying church, you are a church that participates with what God is doing around the world. And I think we're doing that right now. Number three, prayer, worship, and fasting are the fuel of multiplication. Prayer, worship, and fasting are the fuel of multiplication. Jumping ahead now to Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" The church of Antioch became a multiplying church out of a prayer and worship service, right? They were ministering unto the Lord in fasting, which means that they were fasting and praying, fasting and worshiping, and that was the fuel that began the multiplication. So how do we become a multiplying church? We start praying more. We start fasting more. We start worshiping more, right? We've got a prophetic word that was just spoken over us last month that we're going to start doing more worship nights, and that we're actually going to see a revival of young people begin to break out because we're doing more worship nights, right? More worship, more prayer, more fasting. Obviously, because of this teaching series, we have rededicated ourselves to corporate prayer and praying whenever we're together. And of course, we want our church to know that we want church to start at 8:45. Yes, the website says 9, and when new people come to church, they know that church starts at 9, but we know that church starts at 8:45 when we start praying together corporately, right? When we begin to pray and worship and fast with a greater passion, we're going to see that fuel that's going to cause us to become a multiplying church. And finally, number 4, multiplication requires sending your best. Multiplication requires sending your best. Picking it back up again, it says, "While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them.'" Now, we know, again, if we look at the timeline of this and just some rough estimates of the timeline, that this church of Antioch was probably planted in about 42 AD. So the year that Barnabas and Saul were just discipling the church was probably spanned from 43 to 44 AD. And then, depending on different scholars that you study, Barnabas and Saul were then sent out as missionaries to go plant churches sometime around 46 to 48 AD, right? So we're talking about Paul, or Saul, who we know as Paul, and Barnabas had been there at the church for anywhere from 4 to 6 years at this point. They had been the primary disciplers. They were part of this eldership group that was just listed along with Lucius and Simeon and Manaen, right? So they were part of the eldership. These were key men in the church, and God shows up in the midst of their prayer meeting and says, "I want to take two of the most important people out of this church, and I want you to send them out to go plant other churches." Becoming a multiplying church requires sending out your best. And then in verse 3, we see this beautiful picture. "Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Man, it must have been tremendously painful to send Paul and Barnabas away. These were men that had been so important to them and had poured into them, and men that had become so dear to them in relationship and in discipleship, and yet they did it. And even though there was probably a lot of pain and grief involved with sending them out, there was also probably a lot of celebration involved in sending them out and fulfilling the word of the Lord over their church. But it was difficult. It is difficult. Anytime you plant another church, you're taking some of the best people from your church and you're sending them out, and you're not going to see them very often anymore. And that leaves a big hole in your church. It leaves a grief as we miss those people. And for that reason, a lot of churches don't want to send people out. But we have to recognize that to become a multiplying church requires sending out your best. Now, when I was a brand new follower of Jesus and I knew I was called to ministry, I began to make preparations to go to the Master's Commission in Phoenix, Arizona. That's where I started my ministry training. And there were actually 3 of us young adults in the church that I was attending who were all planning to go together to the Master's Commission. And we went to the senior pastor of our church and we asked him, "Can we raise money so that we can go to the Master's Commission?" And his answer was, "No, you cannot." He would not let us send letters out to the church. He would not let us stand in front of the church and ask for support to send us out. And I was super confused. I was a new Christian. I didn't understand church politics. I was super confused. And so later on, as I was talking with some folks, I asked them, why won't the senior pastor let people fundraise to go to the Master's Commission? And their answer was this: because when you send people to the Master's Commission, they don't come back. And so you see, he had the wrong idea. He thought, I'm only going to support people that are going to come back and bless this church. He missed the whole point that of being a multiplying church means to send out your best, and that the blessing is in that your best that you sent out are building more churches. Compare and contrast that. Let me have the worship team come back up here as we wrap up. Compare and contrast that to the church that sent me here, City Harvest Church. My pastor, Bob McGregor, built a church, and from the very beginning, his intention was to plant churches. And he would tell people over and over again, I send out my best people. I always send out my best people. Now, of course, it came kind of a running joke amongst the church staff there that if we were still there, what did that say about us? Wait, he didn't send me out. Does that mean I'm not one of his best? So, but I experienced it there in my 9 years at City Harvest Church, that when he would send out his best to plant a church, he wouldn't just send out one couple. He'd send out like five or six couples together. And they'd go out and they would plant a new church. And that left a huge hole in the church. There were so many positions that needed to be filled, so many gifts that needed to be replaced, so many relationships that were lost. And it was difficult and it was hard on the church. And we would have to struggle through it. But what did we see? We saw new people step up and new giftings released in people's lives and new relationships were built. And then a few years later, we would do it again. And then eventually Shannon and I reached the ranks of Pastor Bob's best because he sent us out. And we're here today with you because Pastor Bob never hesitates to send out his best. Being a multiplying church requires us to go through that pain and difficulty of sending out our best to see more churches planted. Amen? Amen. The mathematics of the book of Acts, we want to see people added to the church. We want to start multiplying disciples, and we want to start multiplying churches. That's the journey that we're on, and that's what's required of us to have a Book of Acts DNA. And we're not there yet, but that's where we're going. That's our passion, and that's what we want to see happen together as a church. Amen? Will you stand together with me? Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, would you begin to speak to each one of us? Lord, I know that even with a message like this, there's a little bit of fear that slips into us. Oh, dear God, don't let it be me. Don't let it be me. Don't send me out. It's got to be somebody else. We don't know who it's going to be. Lord, the Church of Antioch didn't know who it was going to be that day when they were having a prayer meeting. And Lord, you showed up and said, it's Paul and Barnabas. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be open and ready, and that we would be united as a church, united in purpose, united in heart and mind. That, Lord, when you show up and you tell us who it is, that we be ready to send them, that we be ready to go, and that we recognize, Lord, that in the midst of our pain, we're building the kingdom of God and something amazing is happening. Until that day, Lord, when you speak to us and tell us who it is, Father, would you begin to move us forward as a church? Lord, would you begin to add people to our church? Lord, would you begin to multiply the disciples in our church? Father, we pray for a culture of discipleship in Kauai'i Bible Church, that, Lord, before we multiply churches, that we'll start multiplying people. We'll start multiplying disciples. Father God, challenge us to grow in discipleship relationships, to commit, Lord, that it would start in belong groups, and then we would commit to rooted groups. Lord, that whether we're new in the faith or old in the faith, we would begin to seek out, Lord, who can I disciple? Who can I begin to get into a relationship with and pour into in the Word of God? And that, Lord, this discipleship culture would raise up, that, Father, we would continue to participate globally in what's happening around the world, knowing that the vision you have given Kauai'i Bible Church is always bigger than Kauai'i. If it doesn't encompass the whole world, the vision is not big enough. Oh, so Father, would you help us in the midst of our fears and insecurities and our difficulties, Lord, where we don't want to be a part of this, Lord, and where it scares us, would you just help us? By your grace, Lord, would you bring us to the place where we can embrace, as a Book of Acts church, we can be a multiplying church. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Minister to our hearts today. Let this word resound in us. Lord, let the mathematics of the Book of Acts become evident at Kauai Bible Church. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.